I think generally it's a good idea just to ignore Derek for the most part.
He does bang up intros, I gotta say.
That's true. Yeah.
Hi, everyone.
Just checking the levels.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, everyone. It's Tableside Mashed Potatoes. Oh, fuck. It's Tableside Mashed Potatoes.
Hey, by episode 50, you'll get this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. It's Tableside. Fuck. I did it again.
It's awesome. It's just like, let's keep it going.
All right. Hey, everyone. Well, you're listening to Tableside Mashed Potatoes. I'm Derek Ovinga, and I'm here with
Scott Irwin,
Peter Bishop.
Peter, you want to talk about something today?
Yeah, I'm going to start off with a question to you guys.
Okay.
Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever gone to a site and you get a little pop-up and it says, this site uses cookies. Do you accept?
You know, funny you should say that, but yes.
I'd have to agree with Scott.
Multiple times?
Every fucking day.
You know, there are some sites that don't ask you.
Yeah, I'd say it's a solid 60% now.
And including our site, by the way.
Yeah, and then you get the other pop-ups where it's like, hey, subscribe to our newsletter. It is a lot. Have you also heard about the cookie threat that's happening?
Is somebody poisoning cookies?
No. Cookies are under attack, if you didn't know this. New government relations and browsers are blocking these natively from Apple and Firefox by default, right? And now Chrome is coming on board saying they are also going to be blocking cookies.
So let's take a step back and talk about what's a cookie.
Basically, they're called browser cookies, and these are little snippets that record information about user data and user behavior. And they're usually kind of in the form of a little script that sits on a site, right? So there's actually two different types. There's first-party cookies and third-party cookies. And I like to kind of equate them to two different types. So Girl Guides, you know, Girl Guide cookies. There's the awesome chocolate-covered mint Girl Guide cookies. And then there's the terrible blonde and chocolate with the cream inside.
Let me just stop you right there. You got that reversed because mint chocolate chip sucks.
I love the original.
You like the crumbly ones too. Both of you are wrong. The correct answer is the chocolate one. And I get that this is polarizing, but just bear with me here because you're wrong and I'm right. So first party cookies, you can equate them to the best Girl Guide cookies. There's the ones that you want. So those are the ones that track stuff like cart history. When you log into a site, it remembers your login, so you don't have to keep logging in every time you go to a site. It remembers your address data and stuff like that, so you don't have to fill your billing address every single time you're buying stuff. Those are the good guys. And then the crumbly, crappy, cream-filled ones, that's the third-party cookies. And those are the ones that we're talking about. Those are the ones that ask you every time you go to a site, hey, we're, you know, tracking cookies and all this stuff. These are ones that are data that you're giving away, not to the site that you're on, but to other sites. So first-party cookies are for the site that you're actually on. They are originated by that site. Third-party cookies are the ones that are coming in from other areas. And essentially, they're to discover what you're doing. So have you ever been on a site where you, let's say you went to Amazon and you're looking for stuff, and then you go to another site and weirdly enough, you get an ad about the thing that you were looking at Amazon suddenly appearing on a completely different site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. That's third-party cookies.
Coincidence, I thought.
Yeah. Shitty brownie cookies. That's what those are.
Shitty brownie. Are you Girl Guides?
Oh, Girl Guides, sorry.
You can't say shitty brownie in the same sentence unless you actually mean a brownie shit.
That analogy fell apart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
These Girl Guide cookies are like the third party cookies that you're talking about because the Girl Guides will follow you around everywhere.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good tie in. What happened to second party cookies? Let's cut that out. Let's just cut that whole part out of there.
So retargeting is essentially why we look at third-party cookies. It allows us to undercover where users are going, when you've got a sense of who they are, you now can kind of track them across the internet, across different sites. Mm-hmm. So it allows us to kind of target and bucket people into behaviors and then target those behaviors, right? So the big components are those are like Google AdSense, Propeller and others, a big source, big networks essentially. And they really have no permission to gather this data, right? So I think that's why, as privacy issues come up, this is starting to get cracked down on.
Yeah. And the whole privacy thing has become huge over the last couple of years, right? Like they really have no choice but to start to follow suit with the trend, which is, hey, everybody's data is out there. We need to start putting some measures in place to make sure that it's being used ethically and we're respecting people's privacy, right?
Yeah, we're everywhere anyways. But, you know, is being targeted like that when you really have expressed no consent to be under that microscope?
Unless I click OK at the bottom of that little pop-up.
Yeah, yeah, which no one does. Yeah, well, no one reads it anyways.
No.
Yeah. So Firefox and Apple have already taken steps. So Safari, Firefox, which is Mozilla, have already by default blocked third-party cookies, which is interesting. So that's already there. And Mozilla, you may think as, or Firefox, you may think as, well, that's kind of a nothing browser nowadays. But that still makes up, I think, around 40 to 50% of mobile traffic still, which is huge.
Can I tell you something? My go-to browser on my phone is Firefox Focus.
Really?
Yep.
On your Apple phone?
On my iPhone.
Yeah.
It's because I have four browsers on there. Safari, Chrome, regular Firefox, and Firefox Focus, which just basically deletes all data the second you leave the site. Yeah. And my search engine is not Google, but DuckDuckGo.
Really?
And that's where I do most of my just like frivolous, like, oh, I want to look up, you know, whatever thing that I'm interested in right now. And porn. Well, no. No, they can have that search history. That's fine. Yeah. I think it's just because privacy has become such a big topic. Mm. And, you know, you're not hiding anything. It doesn't really matter. You know, OK, well, hey, so I get served an ad. Maybe that ad is beneficial to me. But I think as, you know, time goes on and, you know, more and more of the conversation is being talked about, like, what is your data being, you know, used for, connected to? I just felt for your everyday searches that, you know, are just like, who was in this movie? Mm. I'd just rather have no record of it whatsoever.
Yeah, I remember this great talk where, and I wish I could remember the speaker, but it was a cautionary tale around, in our time, we will live to regret the amount of data we've given away for free.
100%.
That is our currency.
Oh, yeah.
For the new year, right? So
Winston Churchill was a wise man.
Yeah, he predicted the internet 50 years later.
Yeah.
So Apple and Firefox by default. Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing is there's already been workarounds around this. It hasn't been effective, like the ad networks and whatnot have, is like common known loopholes have allowed us to continue on as if nothing's happened. So both of them are taking steps now. So Apple is doing this intelligent tracking prevention 2.2 ITP, essentially to plug their fingers into this hole. That doesn't sound good.
That's the opener of the next podcast.
Oh, God. And Mozilla, same thing. They're not far behind with this enhanced tracking protection, ETP. Super original. So ITP, ETP, seriously.
ICP.
Anyway.
ICP.
I'm glad you got that reference.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, so essentially, this will stop third-party cookies from being recorded as first-party cookies, because that's what it tends to do. And in some cases, this will even reduce first-party cookies from going from... So typically, a cookie will last for around 7 days. Mm-hmm. This will nerf them down to 1 day. So that's interesting from a user point of view, because now when you have to log in, every so often, mm-hmm. that frequency will get higher, and that could be potentially quite annoying.
So what was the, why would they, because if the focus is around protecting privacy, absolutely 100% understand the actions taken to prevent third-party cookies, right? Because you're not consenting to that. Why limit the time window now for how long first-party cookies will hold?
Probably falls in around security. The shorter you keep those cookie records, the less chances of breach. So that's kind of Mozilla and Apple. And then there's Google. Google hasn't done anything to date for the most part, but now they're kicking in, right? So Google owning a whopping 60% of all browser usage, which is phenomenal.
That's huge.
When you think about it, they have this opt-in version of ITP. And at that point, cookies will be nothing but crumbs.
Dun dun.
Like nicely done.
That was good. Yeah. You didn't write that beforehand, did you? No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm not holding anything up. So it's weird. So Google is going through kind of two phases. There's kind of phase one where they're upgrading kind of Chrome. It's called version 80, which will be released in early February 2020. So.
Now, today,
yeah, you would think
by the time this podcast drops,
yeah. So, this requires cookies to have updated labels, and kind of increased security. So, for the time being, Google will allow cookies through Chrome, but you have to do some things. You have to jump over some hoops, make sure that your cookies are secure, and they're going to have a bunch of regulations around it. That will allow some breathing room, but then, coming soon is going to be Google's big whopper, which is basically eliminating third-party cookies completely, right?
Crazy.
Yeah, that's what's ahead of us. And fundamentally, if cookies go away, we lose insight into campaigns. From a marketing perspective, this is tough, especially from programmatic. Programmatic is where everyone's shaking the most. Mm-hmm. We lose all our insights into campaigns. We don't know. We can't track users. We can't target users. We don't know what's happening with our campaigns. We just kind of become blind, mm-hmm. right?
So obviously this is going to affect, our job. So from a marketing perspective, well, what do we need to do about this?
So as you can see, there's a little bit of time where Google is going to be going through this kind of transition period. So there's this moment where we can come up with a strategy, right? And for the most part, we're cleaning up our cookies so that it was still allowed to go through. But knowing that the tsunami is coming, we need to move ahead of that. So it'd be interesting actually to talk to suppliers. If you do work with buyers, or you're working with directly with the suppliers, you know, asking them what is their strategy, and they're all on top of this. This is their livelihood, right? Mm-hmm. So they are completely aware of what's going on and should have in place something to combat this, right? So it's good reaching out if they haven't already and asking what's going on. Mm-hmm. But to make things even more confusing, Google's coming out with a product called Privacy Sandbox. So this is their solution to the whole thing. So essentially, Privacy Sandbox is Google's perhaps answer to all this. In a future where all cookies are gone, they would see it replaced by a series of APIs. So APIs, if you don't know what those means, they're windows to connect software together through code. But it's not cookie-based, right? So advertisers could use these to receive data about things like conversion and attribution on campaigns. This would all happen in the Chrome browser, but would perhaps set the standard for everyone else. So that's what's interesting about this. So Google is essentially creating their own ID and own way of creating cookies that are not cookie-based. And they're working with the, you know, compliancy and government and really getting a lot of buy-in around this new standard. And so this is where we kind of sit. We're not sure where they're going exactly, but this could be where everyone else follows in line, and it becomes the new universal ID that we're all kind of after, which is relatively elusive. If that happens, then we're adding power to something that's also very powerful already. So that becomes, Google could become this monopoly because it's owning the ideas, owning the tracking and everything around it.
So Google could become a monopoly as opposed to already being one.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Let's take over the table.
Absolutely.
Point. Yeah.
What about in terms of, you know, we're always tracking metrics. How is that going to appear for us now?
Yeah, it's going to change for sure, right? So if that's how we track metrics is cookie-based stuff, then we're going to have to adapt. And this is where everyone's adapting, right? So right off the bat, if we want to tie into this privacy sandbox, there's very likely going to be a stripped-down version of the amount of data that we get back versus the just waterfall that we get right now. So Google's kind of talked about it as kind of like a privacy budget where they allow you a certain amount of data. Right. But there's a limit to it, right? So you can only take a certain amount, and then after that, you're kind of cut off. So they're going to give you key indicators on whether your campaign's working or whatnot, but they're not going to give you everything that we get currently, because right now it's an open book. And I think this, as consumers, this is a good thing, because your data is not being, you know, given out to everyone willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. But, the flip side is this monopoly side, that's the thing that we got to watch out for. So a couple of the things that we can change, how we target and how we talk to people: contextual targeting versus behavioral targeting. So typically when you look at third-party cookies, it's all around behavioral targeting. You may get ads that are relevant to your profile regardless of where you go. So you may be looking at a bike website and getting ads for HubSpot because you're a marketer. When you actually are there to look at bikes, right? That's kind of how that works. Like, they bucketed you into marketing. So therefore you get these ads no matter where you go, when your actual intent is kind of determined on where you're at in the moment. Mm-hmm. Right. So that, I think that's interesting. The contextual targeting ads are based on the content you are looking at. So if you're on a bike site, you should be getting ads about bikes, right? Because that's kind of where you're at that moment in time. The same thing too, right? So if you're looking into marketing things, then you get marketing advertising. If you're looking into recreational things, you see recreational ads. That's kind of the difference between those two. Targeting people, right? So Facebook has been doing this since day one, right? So they are targeting people versus third-party cookies, which are targeting behavior, right? So when you look at how Facebook, you dial in your audience based on their likes and what they're passionate about and who they hang out with and all those types of things. That's fine. We can continue to do that. In fact, that may be the future of how we do things versus trying to bucket ourselves into who knows what, right? There's a very good chance that all of us are in the wrong bucket, or perhaps it's just a little too broad or just not quite right, because they are just targeting you based on what you're doing online, not necessarily what you like and dislike. Content really to me is kind of where things are going. It's always been the case. Content targeting and content marketing for most part is kind of overlooked by the big guys. But so, you know, that's where we go, you know, and looking at things beyond just what sites we're on, but let's look at like location, and we can look at or mobile usage. Mobile usage, that's a funny one too, because mobile usage for the most part is completely separated from cookies. Mm-hmm. You can't use third-party cookies on apps, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. So the mobile side, which we know is huge, is not part of this whole thing anyway. So at very core, it's failing at that kind of level, because we're all on our phones, and that's a gigantic part of our kind of online usage. Mm. So if we can't see into that in the first place, or we can't target in that place properly in the first place, was it ever a good system? Are we moving to a better system regardless? So that's kind of it, though. It's like, you know, content marketing, I think, and content targeting is going to be big. Targeting's not going away, but cookies absolutely are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But not the chocolate-covered mint cookies, because those are here forever.
I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting that Google, of all companies, is, you know, maybe perceived as picking up the mantle of, you know, privacy.
They right? sell Google the targeted ads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because they're the hero and the villain at the same time. They're the ones crushing it and also coming up with the answer to the new cookie. So
yeah, they're fire bugs.
Yeah.
Right? They're those guys that start fires so that they can come in and, you know,
it just shows how, like, we are at the mercy of Google as marketers. So like, they can do whatever they want. Flip a switch and we all have to, like, okay, what is it now? Okay, we'll do that.
Well, and it speaks to, you know, it speaks a little bit to the, you know, the ethics of tracking people anyways. Like generally, like you pointed out, generally speaking, I think as a consumer, this is a good thing. It may make digital marketing jobs harder. But so long as the field is leveled, I think everybody is in the same boat and has to now figure out, okay, well, what's next?
Yeah.
All right, fuck it. Let's get some chicken.
Yep. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.